You know what complicates life? Feelings. Feelings are tricky little critters that get wrapped up in just about all of life's experiences, and all too often, these feelings can feel kind of crappy. Worry, apprehension, fear, doubt, shame, guilt, boredom, embarrassment, overwhelm, dread, anger, frustration, sadness. They're everywhere. And the worst part is they can influence our perception of ourselves and others and the choices we make, causing us to live in ways that aren't really healthy or fulfilling. So today, I want to talk about the emotional self, discover how feelings work, understand why they're important, and learn how to work with them instead of wishing they didn't exist. Welcome to the blog and podcast, Unlocking Wellness. I'm Crystal McLean, curator of Crystal McLean Creative, an online resource that supports folks who are ready to get creative with their self-care so they can feel healthy, empowered, and fulfilled. If you enjoy this content, would like to support my work, and score some sweet self-care goodies, consider a Patreon membership for as little as $3 a month. Yep, $3. It's like buying me a cup of coffee. To learn more about memberships and how funds are making a positive impact, you can visit crystalmcleancreative.com. And if you like to read along while you listen or enjoy graphics and videos, you can access all of these features through the blog version of this podcast. I'll leave a direct link to this episode in the show notes below. All right, let's get to it. So to kick things off, let's talk about what the emotional self is. The emotional self is the part of you that's able to identify, experience, process, and express your feelings. Now, that's a tidy checklist, but we all know that managing our emotional self is anything but tidy. That said, the more we understand our emotions, the more creative we can get while working with them, and the tidier the process will be. So let's talk about how these emotions are born. In a nutshell, emotions are the result of experience paired with sensation. We've all had moments in life that have left us feeling some sort of way. And these feelings are the result of actual chemistry going on within your body caused by stimuli. What do I mean by that? Well, if you hung out with us while we expanded our body consciousness, you know all about your sensory organs, your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, skin, and gut. And you know that these sensory organs relay information to the brain, whose job is to orchestrate something called homeostasis by regulating the body's systems, which control things like your heart rate, hormone production, and respiration. Basically, your brain and body are designed to work together so they can keep you safe, healthy, and functioning, no matter the circumstances. And if you missed out on the post about body consciousness, I've got a link for you back at the blog. Anyway, when there's a stimulus, a thing or an event that evokes a physiological and cognitive response, you're going to experience a mind-body sensation. And because we're communicative creatures with consciousness, we rely on language to identify the sensations we experience. Hello, emotions. Emotions are quite literally the labels that we give to these mind-body sensations so that we can understand our reactions to everything that's going on in the world around us. And while this is a fairly simple explanation about how emotions come into being, emotions are a lot more complicated than this, which is why sometimes they can feel really confusing. So let's just go ahead and talk about those complications with emotions. Now, personally, I believe the biggest culprit for complicating our emotions is other people. Yep, I don't know about you, but I have been told many, many times throughout my entire life how to feel. Sometimes it's blatant, other times it's subtle, but no matter how you slice it, it can kind of fuck with you. And we are being told how to feel by a pretty wide range of people. On one end, we've got a culture steeped in capitalism, white supremacy, and patriarchal systems, which use their psychological schemes to play into our most fundamental fears, so they can manipulate us for their own gain. Yeah, it's trash, and it's one of the reasons why I'm trying to empower people so they can determine their own worth and wellness and change the game we've been taught to play. Anyway, on the other end, we have people who do genuinely care for us, but they tell us to cheer up or to move on, or they try to convince us that we're okay when really we're not. And most likely they're doing this because they don't know how to deal with our emotions, let alone their own. And they don't want us to suffer. And so this is how they respond. By the way, if you're a person who does this, thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. But please stop. It's really not that helpful. And we'll talk about how to deal with yucky emotions in a minute. But yeah, when we're consistently being told how to feel, or we don't have a safe space to process or express our feelings, what ends up happening is we learn to either mistrust our emotions, or we try to regulate our feelings so they fit into other people's expectations, or we end up feeling like a hot mess because we don't know what to do with our emotions, or we try not to feel at all because feeling is too complicated and uncomfortable, and who has the time and energy for that? Well, nobody. Nobody has the time or energy for that, but we still have to deal with our feelings. Because, spoiler alert, ignoring your emotional health is terrible for your total well-being. It affects your physical health, your mental health, your relationships. It's really powerful stuff. And I'm guessing that one of the reasons you're here right now with this post is because you probably want to feel more in control of your health and well-being. And I love you for that. So let's learn how to gain a little bit of peace, a little bit of power, and let's get creative with our emotional self-care together. All right. At the risk of discouraging you, I have to tell you, your emotions, they're not always the most reliable resources. That's not to say that your feelings aren't real. Oh, my dear, your feelings, they are very real. And not only are they real, but they are valid and they deserve your care and attention. But that said, they still may not be reliable indicators of truth. And at the risk of confusing you even further, despite your feelings being potential big fat liars, they're still very important information that you must pay attention to. And to demonstrate this in a very simple fashion, I want to tell you a little story about a walk that I went on with a friend. So my friend and I were out on this walk, and as we passed this one particular house, a dog comes running toward us, barking. Now, I don't believe my friend has ever had a dog, and I think I recall her mentioning having had a bad experience once. Me, however, I grew up with dogs, German Shepherds no less, and I've never had a bad experience with a dog. Well, in this moment, my friend experienced fear and moved away from the dog, whereas I felt perfectly happy to see the dog and moved towards it. And here's my question. Whose feelings were valid here? Trick question. Both. And kind of an unfair question because we're missing the most important piece of information from the story. The truth about the dog. So here's the thing about humans. We have something called consciousness. And with consciousness come some pretty cool features like imagination. Because we need to understand our environment, and because our sensory organs can only detect so much information, and because our emotions only give us so much feedback, some of which is unreliable, we use our imagination to fill in the gaps. And we need to use our imagination to fill in the gaps because it is literally impossible to be fully aware. We cannot always know the truth or have all the facts or be tuned in all the time to all the things. We also can't predict the future or know what someone else is thinking or feeling. That means everything we experience is up for interpretation. And so we rely on our emotions and imagination to act as a compass while we navigate through this world. My friend learned to fear dogs, and I learned to love them. That means we walk through this world with a different relationship with, perception of, and belief system about dogs. Now, being afraid of dogs probably isn't going to be the biggest burden in life. But what if we experience fear or doubt or shame or any other restrictive emotion when it comes to our health and well-being? What happens when our feelings keep us from advocating for ourselves? What happens when our emotions block us from practicing self-care or self-respect or self-love? How do they affect the boundaries we set? How do our feelings influence our relationships with people, money, drugs, alcohol, food, sex, pain, loss, grief, pride, power, pleasure? Whether something is healthy or not is irrelevant to our emotions. They don't give a damn. We're going to feel how we feel, and we're going to act on those feelings until we perceive differently. Our experiences, current circumstances, and present mood create our perception, and our perception fuels our imagination. And if left unchecked, it can do more harm than good. So, we need to take back the power. We need to gain control of our imagination and pair it with critical thinking and shift our perspective and get creative with our emotional self-care. Because when you get creative with your emotional self-care, you become more powerful than your feelings. All right, like I mentioned earlier, your emotions are not necessarily reliable indicators of truth. But despite that being the case, you still need to pay attention to the messages you receive. And the reason we need to pay attention is because even though the messages may not make sense, there's still something you need to know. Let's talk about the subconscious brain for a minute. Essentially, our automatic subconscious brains are designed to quickly determine whether or not something is safe or dangerous. Because if it is dangerous, we don't want to fuck around and wait too long, right? Like if a smoke detector goes off, you're not going to finish watching that TikTok video in a state of panic while worrying about all that could go wrong if there was indeed a fire. No, you're going to get up, look around, smell for smoke, and assess the situation. If there is a fire, you're going to either try to put it out or evacuate the building, call 911, something, right? The point is, you receive a signal that something is wrong. You pay attention to that signal and assess the situation. After your assessment, you're going to take appropriate action. That is you being a fully capable human making decisions for your well-being, which is actually something you do a lot of all the time. Well, our emotions are like little personal alarms that are also trying to tell us when something is off. But a lot of times, we just ignore the alarm. We need to take the time to pay attention to and understand our emotions. They're not always going to be easy to understand, but they're going to help us figure out our needs. So let's learn how to practice emotional self-care. All right, so the first step is to identify what you're feeling. Because we've been conditioned to numb, suppress, ignore, and mislabel our feelings, identifying them can be a bit tricky. But the more familiar you become with this process, the easier it's going to be. And the reason to get really clear about what you're feeling is because it's going to be a whole lot easier to process and express your emotions and advocate for your needs. So, to help you organize the chaos, I have a free feelings identifier at my website, which is basically a list categorized with primary emotions and then more specific emotions within each category. Again, this is free to anyone who visits my website. I'll leave a link at the bottom of the blog. And if you have a membership with me, you can find this conveniently located in the Inspiration Station app or along with the journal prompts at today's perks page. If you're a member, you totally know what I'm talking about. And if you're not a member and you want to know more about that, hit me up and I'll hook you up, or you can just go visit my website. Anyway, how do we identify our feelings? Well, you start by getting a sense of how you're generally feeling. And from there, you get more specific. Let's say you identify a primary emotion as anger. Anger is a powerful feeling, but also a pretty vague one. If we look more closely at our anger and dissect it a bit, we might actually see that it's a combination of other feelings like frustration or disappointment or resentment. Just like sadness might be a combination of grief, loneliness, and betrayal. Can you see the difference between these more specific feelings and how they might help you better understand yourself and your circumstances? I hope so. Anyway, if you're unsure about your feelings, go snag that feelings identifier. It's free. The second step is to practice experiencing your emotions. Yes, practice. Before we even think about processing and expressing our feelings, let's get comfortable with just being with them. Because a lot of emotions are quite uncomfortable, that means we'd rather not feel them. And because our brains identify comfort and pleasure with safety, and because our brains are wicked smart problem solvers, that means it's going to find all sorts of ways to make us avoid uncomfortable feelings and do something that makes us feel good instead. I'm looking at you, Netflix and potato chips. Anyway, this is how we can get wrapped up in unhealthy habits and sometimes take simple pleasures a little too far. This is actually us allowing our feelings to have control of our actions, when what we want is to have control of our actions despite our emotions. Right? Right. Well, how we start practicing regaining our power and taking control is by practicing sitting with our feelings. Just be with them. Just feel them. If you're sad, feel it. If you're angry, feel it. If you're anxious, feel it. But try not to act on it and try not to change it. This is not a form of punishment or me wanting you to suffer. What this is hard evidence for your brain that you will not die if you are uncomfortable. It's proof for your brain that you're going to be okay even if you're not okay. Know what I mean? And you don't have to sit with your feelings forever. For starters, feelings don't last forever, so you can rest in knowing that. But also, you're the one who's in control here. If you feel like you've had enough, that's okay. Take a break. This is a practice. And when we practice something, we start small. So while you're here experiencing your emotions, curiosity is going to be your best friend. Take the time to really pay attention to what's going on with your mind, your body, your behaviors, or your urges. Oh, and try not to judge what's going on. Just take notice. What physical sensations do you feel? How's your gut? How's your energy? Are you shaking? Are you sweaty? Do you feel lightheaded? Do you feel tense? What's going on in your brain? Is it hard to focus? Are you obsessing? Are you judging yourself? What kind of thoughts are popping up in your head? And what feels enticing to you at this moment? Do you want to fire up a cigarette, pound a beer, eat as many cookies as humanly possible? Do you want to look at your phone? Do you want to yell at someone? When we do this, when we practice non-judgmental observation while we are in our feelings, a few serious, awesome things are happening. For starters, we're building self-confidence and resilience, which are amazing skills to have in life. And on top of that, We are becoming so self-aware that we're going to be able to understand ourselves in ways that we never knew we could. And by the way, I want to remind you, this is really fucking hard, and that's why we practice it. We're not nailing it. We're not crushing it. We're not perfecting it. We're practicing. Okay. The third step is to process your emotions. And I've got some good news for you. In the words of Bon Jovi, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, okay, that's enough. Yeah, we're halfway there. If you've already identified some of your feelings and you've noticed your thoughts and body sensations and behavioral impulses as a non-judgmental observer, yeah, you're halfway there. And from here, we can start interviewing our feelings. So let's get to know them a little bit. When do these feelings pop up? What was going on in your life when you first noticed these feelings? Has anyone else played a role in the development of these feelings? What can you learn from them? How are you responsible for these feelings? What needs to change in order for these feelings to become more manageable? What can you do to create that change? And if you were to replace these feelings with other emotions, what would those emotions be, and what could you do to help achieve them? That's probably enough interview questions for now. And by the way, if you're a Patreon member, I've actually got some really good journal prompts for you in the app and at the perks page. All right, let's move on. The fourth and final step for practicing emotional self-care is to express your feelings. When we have a safe space where we can share and release our feelings outside of our own head, it helps us gain even more clarity about them, and it also helps us to take our power back. Now, there's probably a million and one ways that we can express our emotions, and I'm going to share a bigger list over at Patreon, but today, right here, I'm just going to share a few of my favorites. Number one, open up to someone you trust. Talking about your feelings or what you're going through is so good. There's nothing quite like having a set of compassionate ears and another perspective to help you work through your feelings. But if you want to open up to someone and they have a tendency to tell you how to feel, or they try to, quote, fix you or your feelings in some way, you're going to need to set some boundaries first. Before you start divulging your emotional landscape, tell your listener what you need from them. Be very clear, and maybe even thank them. Gratitude is really nice, and it's an effective tool for getting what you want. And if you ever end up being the listener in this case, ask your person what they need from you. As good as it may be, they may not want your advice. They might just need a place to vent. Keep their words in confidence and thank them for trusting you. We all need more healthy relationships. And if you don't feel like you have a safe person in your life, look for a therapist or a mentor or a support group. Number two, journaling. I cannot express how cathartic writing can be. I'm talking actual pen to paper, words on a page, writing. You don't have to make your writing interesting or have correct spelling or good grammar. You don't have to have a theme or a topic or a direction. You just need to write. If you're feeling shitty, write that down and see what follows. Take everything from the first three steps of emotional self-care and pour it onto a page and notice what happens next. And number three, art. Again, we're not looking for anything interesting here. You don't have to use fancy materials, and it doesn't have to be good. Just make something with your goddamn hands. Choose colors or shapes or lines that match your mood. Scribble. Cut and paste, tear the paper and glue it back together. Dump paint all over it and smush it around with your hands. Art is not precious. It's a process, and it can help you express yourself when words fail you. All right, my friend, we've covered a lot of material today, so I applaud you for hanging in there. But I quickly want to recap some of the important bits. Getting creative with your emotional self-care makes you more powerful than your feelings. Your feelings are not always indicators of truth, but they are valuable tools for creating health and wellness in your life. Practicing emotional self-care builds confidence, resilience, and self-awareness. Emotional self-care is great for physical and mental health, as well as your relationships. Curiosity, patience, and compassion are your greatest assets during your practice. And you are a capable human who can get creative with your emotional self-care. If you're curious about anything that I've mentioned here today, you can find links at the bottom of the blog. I'll leave a direct link in the show notes below, or you can visit my website, crystalmcleancreative.com. And if you are a Patreon member, do not forget to snag all those juicy perks today. You can find those links at the top and bottom of the blog. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you soon.